Cosmo Jones stopped before the modest residence of Police Captain Murphy, his friend and tormentor. He climbed the porch steps and rang the doorbell. There stood Captain Murphy himself, a broom in his hand, a checkered apron wrapped around his huge girth, and a housewife's cap perched on his head.
What in the name of saints are you doing here? And none of your fancy wisecracks either. Now look, you little mouse. This is one day when I won't be needing a pest like yourself around. Me wife, that's Mrs. Murphy to you, is due home tomorrow from a trip to her relatives. And I'm just fixing and cleaning the house on me day off for her arrival.
Why, Captain, this is a perfect opportunity to show my good intentions. I can help you.
And that's the humorous opening to another pleasant visit with The Player, starring Mr. Paul Frees, America's most versatile actor. We'll return after a few profitable moments with your announcer. Is your star, the player, Mr. Paul Frees.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is the player welcoming you to our presentation of The Professor Goes to a House Cleaning. Professor Cosmo Jones set down his walking stick and umbrella, shed his bulky overcoat, a suit coat, and two of his many sweaters, and followed Captain Murphy up the steps of his home. Upstairs, the captain led the way to a door.
This is one of the bedrooms. Now, over there is a folding bed. As long as you're helping me, I want you to strip it and take all the kivers out in the backyard for an errand.
With this, Murphy left and Cosmo set about his task. Both pillows on the bed were fastened down by clamps. The professor took hold, pulled, strained, and jerked, to no avail. Then he fastened his claws into the pillow itself and wrenched.
What in the devil are you doing in there?
Oh, nothing, Captain. Nothing at all.
Will you look at him now? In the room less than 2 minutes and everything goes to...
Fudge, Captain.
Fudge? Oh, fudge me eye. Hey, get yourself out of here. Now go in the bathroom and clean it and see if you can knock yourself out on the tile, will you? I'll be taking care of this room. Go on now.
Just as Cosmo turned on the hot water to clean the bathtub, Murphy summoned him with a stentorian roar.
Hey, Mouse!
Yes, Captain?
Come here a minute. I want you to help me.
Coming, Captain. Coming right away.
Cosmo hurried down the hall.
Here, it's the chiffonier. My wife is giving it to her sister for an anniversary gift. I want you to help me downstairs with it. Now look, Cosmo, you get in front. I'll hoist it on your back and guide you from behind because I know the way downstairs better than you do, eh?
The arrangement was carried out and they traveled only 2 steps when a frolicsome feather floated out of the bedroom. It fluttered here and there and then dove for a point beneath Murphy's nose.
Oh, fudge.
Murphy rose to his feet and with purpling face answered the front door.
How do you do, sir? Like to buy a magazine on how to keep the home beautiful.
No, I don't want to buy no magazine.
Why?
Because I've got a magazine.
Well, two magazines are always better than one, they say.
I'm in no mood for an argument. Good day to you. Now, as for you, you half-pint spook. Take a look at what you did to that wall with your shenanigans.
But, Captain, it wasn't I who sneezed.
Never mind that. Oh, go down to the cellar and get the can of ivory paint there. We'll touch up all them scratches a bit. And shake a leg.
Cosmo scuttled out of the room, scrambled down the cellar, and found the paint. He took the cover off and started back. Through the kitchen, across the hall, past the dining room, and around a curve into the living room. As his feet struck Mrs. Murphy's brand new rug, the professor called out,
I've got the paint, Captain. I've got the paint.
The rug! The rug!
Oh, fudge.
You spilled paint all over that rug, Cosmo. Hurry up! Get some hot water and soap from the kitchen. Oh, glory, I ain't got enough troubles. Now it's the telephone. Hurry up with that soap and water, you sod-off dope. Hello?
Hello. Is Marvy in there?
There's no Marvin here.
Well, could you tell me when he'll be home?
I don't know when he'll be back. No, there's no Marvin here, lady.
Oh, isn't this heliotrope 2002?
Let me see. Oh, no, it ain't. I'm terribly sorry, ma'am.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I must have the wrong number.
Oh, for the love of Mike, is there any peace in this world? First it's the telephone, now it's the doorbell.
Good afternoon, sir. I represent the Apex Insurance Company. Now, I wonder if you'd be interested in one of our special endowment policies. I might add that it has 10 points of beneficial aspect. First, you don't have to die to realize a financial premium. Second, you don't have to...
Wait a minute. Not so fast. I don't want any insurance.
Oh, but my dear sir, that's ridiculous. You see, you must have insurance in order to...
I don't want no insurance. Glory. Glory. Hey, Spook. Cosmo. Where are you? No. Oh, don't answer. I know where you are.
With all the speed capable of his ponderous hulk, Murphy raced for the kitchen. The hot water boiler ripped open and twisted every which way lay on the floor. Pots and pans were scattered all over and steam filled the place.
Oh, fudge, Captain. It seems I've met with a slight accident.
An accident? Why, you're crazy. You. Wait a minute. Your nose is bleeding. Wait right here. I'll go up to the bathroom and get you some cotton to stop it.
The captain whirled and headed for the stairs. Puffing like a locomotive, he made the top of the landing. And when he opened the door, the Johnstown flood in the bathroom got underway. Down the stairs on the crest of a wave sailed Murphy. When he rose to his feet, he was knee-deep in water. He waded back to the kitchen just in time to meet with another disturbance at the back door.
Hello? It's you.
I beg your pardon, sir, but you didn't let me finish with my 10 points of beneficial aspect. Number two is you only have to wait 25 years before you get your money back. Number three is...
I don't want no insurance! Now, that's for you, you scatterbrained. Where are you now?
I'm in the dining room, Captain. Would you come here a minute? Just look how the steam from the kitchen makes the dining room table so dull.
Holy cats. It's ruining it. Sure, we got to move it quick. Cosmo, get a hold of the other end there. Quick, hurry up. That's right. All right, now swing it this way. No, wait. The other way. Look out! You're going to back into the china cabinet.
Oh! Oh, fudge.
Fudge, is it? Fudge! A fine mess of fudger if you're asking me. And who's to blame for it all, huh? I ask you, who's to blame?
Well, whom would you suggest, Captain?
Who would I? You!
Somebody's at the door, Captain.
Oh, you don't say. Well, thank you very much for telling me. Wait here, I'll be back.
Once more, Murphy went to the door and answered it.
You didn't let me finish, sir. Point number three is after you die, your beneficiary only has to prove that you're dead in order to get the money. Number four is you get a yearly dividend. Number five, six, seven, and eight have to do with the payment of quarterly dividends. Number nine, your children get a life membership in the milk. fund. And number 10, here's the one that'll interest you, sir. If you don't die at all, we give you the money anyway. Now, what do you have to say, sir?
Go away. Go away before I... Go away and don't come back. Oh, no. Now to get back to you, Professor Cuckoo Jones.
I believe the telephone is ringing, Captain.
Oh, the telephone is ringing. Well, thanks to you. Thank you very much. I'll answer it.
Hello? Is Herbert Krillbine there?
Well, it's Herbert Krillbine. No, Herbert and Marvin, they ain't still here. And this ain't no Daffodil 1234, and besides, nobody's home. Now to get back to where I left off. Oh, Glory, look at me house. Just look at it. And me darling wife, Bridget, due home in the morning.
Well, Captain, we could still fix it up.
Well, maybe we could at that. I've still got me roof left. Oh, this is the last straw. That insurance clock again. Yes, Cosmo, hand me that broom. I'm going to lambaste him one he'll never forget.
It might be well not to be hasty, Captain.
Get me the broom!
The professor left and very shortly returned with the broom. Murphy took his stance at one side of the door and raised the broom like a baseball player in the first World Series game. Now, you mouse, open the door quick. Quick, like.
Oh, fudge, Captain. It wasn't the insurance man at all. It's Mrs. Murphy.
Oh, Bridget, darling. Oh, Bridget, what have I done?
And so ends another story by The Player, starring your one-man theater, Paul Frees, who portrays all of the parts. Mr. Frees will return in just a moment after a few words from your announcer.
Professor Goes to a House Cleaning was written by Walter Gehring and produced by Sam Kerner, with music composed and performed by Rami Idris, special effects by Fred Cole. Your announcer was Gary Goodwin. Won't you join us again when we present another exciting story for your entertainment? This is The Player, Paul Frees, saying goodbye. Until next, we meet.